And so today we begin a new sermon series. I didn't really know how to tag this, y'all, but only way I could tag would just say grateful. We're the grateful folk in the house today, grateful. Yeah. Come on. It's Thanksgiving Day is upon us. We ought to be grateful. Any grateful people, for real though, come on. That you really are grateful. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Anybody just grateful for salvation today? That one day you'll spend eternity with him. Don't fool me now. Come on, y'all too quiet on me this morning. What a grateful people. We ought to show up on a Sunday morning grateful. Show up with a praise on our lips. Show up with our hands lifted in the air because we are grateful to God for all that he has done for us. Amen, amen, and amen. And so here we are. And so Thanksgiving is upon us, Thanksgiving Day. And so we're making all of the preparations that we make. And so some of y'all, you know, you're getting your menu together. You're going to determine who you're going to invite to Thanksgiving dinner and maybe who you're not going to invite. That maybe you got your fall colors out. You got your browns and your oranges and maybe your hints of reds. You got your wreath on the door that listen, you're preparing that list of the food that you're going to eat. Who's going to make the turkey? Who's going to bring the cranberry sauce? Who are you going to say, look, you just bring ice because you're not known for cook. You just bring ice and cups. You good. Bring some napkins. That's all right. That's your department. That's your department. Some of us fit that department. We ain't very good cooks. So that's some ice and some red Solo cups and some napkins. You good right there. You good. We prepare the table and with all of its garnishings, with the real tablecloth on it. We have the real napkins, y'all, with the little ring that go through it. We have the fine china, the good stuff that we put out, not the Dixie stuff, not the paper, but the good stuff, y'all. And like I said to the folk this morning, somebody told me what the name of that plate was. The big plate they set on the table that you sit your plate in. What's that? A charger. Yeah, first time I saw one of y'all, I said, well, that's a big old plate. I get a whole lot of food on that rascal. It's called a charger, okay? It's a charger, okay? I didn't know what that was. That's a big old plate. But you sit your plate, your real plate, your fine china, inside of that plate. And so we do all of this stuff, y'all. And Thanksgiving Day will come, and then it's going to go. And then we're ready for the next holiday, which is, you know, retail, they already into it. They got commercials all over the TV. They have for the last month. They were preparing to buy gifts. They were preparing to invite people over for Christmas dinner. That all the lights and the trees and all of the stuff, it comes up and we do all the stuff that we do for Christmas. And then after a while, guess what? Christmas is over. We take down the tree. We pack up all the papers and all the stuff. We take those new clothes and we stuff them in the closet, probably never wear them again. We do all of this stuff and it's over. Found out something. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, that comes to an end like a whole lot of holidays, they just seem to come and go. But here's one thing I know. When it comes to gratitude, Brother Jeffrey, when it comes to being grateful to God and all that God has done for us, gratitude cannot simply be seasonal. That every day is a day of thanksgiving to God. 365 days of the year. When your eyes open up in the morning, one of the first things you do is say, thank God, I thank you. I thank you, I have breath in my body. I thank you, I'm here to see another day. Where are the grateful people in the house today? Has God been so good to us that we just take it for granted that you had to be here this morning? You can't take it for granted because you're healthy in your body, or you can walk, or you can talk, that you can see, that you can hear. And so we're grateful to God for all that he's done. So for the next few weeks, we're simply going to look at a few lessons, y'all, from the book of Philippians, written by the Apostle Paul. It's Paul's letter of joy. It's his letter of joy and thanksgiving to the Philippians for all that they did for him. Because I want us to stay grounded in gratitude. Not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day of our lives. And we have to practice a lifestyle of daily gratitude. Why? Because every day God has been good to us. Is that somebody's testimony today? Yeah. Do you know it for real, though? For real, for real, for real. Y'all, in this season when folk are getting laid off, folk are getting fired and all that other stuff, a whole lot of folk in here that are on furlough. We got folks that are working, y'all, they're not getting the paycheck. But they still eating. that you still have a roof over your head, that God is still supplying your every need. That's something to be grateful for. That's something we should not take. We should not take for granted that God is good to us. And so turn with me, y'all, in your Bibles real quickly to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at one verse. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. One verse we're reading from the New Living Translation. And it simply says this. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns, or the day of Christ Jesus. And I am certain, Paul says, I am confident, I know this, that God, who began, who started the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Encourage our hearts from the thought, grateful that God is still working on me. Anybody grateful about that today? I'm grateful that God is still working on me. God is still working in me. That I am a work in progress, and you are too. That we are works in progress. That God is still working on all of us. That all of us, y'all, we have those days when we feel real good. That, listen, we walking in holiness, y'all. We feel like we got the halo on our head. We doing our thing. We nice to everybody, y'all. We ain't cuss nobody out. We walking this thing out. But then there's some other days, y'all. Like I said to the folk this morning, and maybe I can just be honest with me, that I woke up on the right side of the bed and I was still a hot mess. That I did not do the right things. I didn't say the right things. I didn't look so holy. I didn't look so Christian-like. Anybody else, you ever been there before? That I didn't say you woke up on the wrong side. It was the right side of the bed, but you were just wrong. I said to the folks, but you're not sanctification, but anctification. Ain't you just don't look a whole lot like a Christian on some days. And we all live there at some point in our lives that none of us always have it all together. But guess what? God started a work in you. He started a magnificent work, a marvelous work, a powerful work, and God's going to complete that work in you and me. That God started and is continuing a mighty work in your life and my life, and we can be grateful for that today, that God is still working in you and me. Listen, you are God's assignment, and he will accomplish his work in you and me. You're God's assignment. If you were somebody else's assignment, they'd have cut you loose a long time ago. But you are God's assignment, and God will complete his assignment. That we are God's people. We are God's people. And God will complete his project in your life and my life, and we can be grateful for that. So in our text for today, we see Paul's thanksgiving and prayer for the Philippians. I love how this text reads in verse 3. Paul says this, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God whenever I pray. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. Man, doesn't that sound good? Isn't it good to know somebody's thinking enough about you, they're praying for you? They're praying for your well-being and not your downfall. They're praying for your uplifting, now trying to stab you in the back. Isn't it good to know that people love you? Every time they think about you, they pray for you, and they pray to God that he would treat you well, that he would do well in your life. Paul, in his prayer for the church, I say this to us this morning. If someone has been kind to you, if there have been other believers in your life, perhaps they have been your mentors, perhaps they have been your comrades in Christianity, if they've done well by you, why not thank God for them? Why not uplift them? Why not remember them? Why not encourage them and lift them up? Y'all, we need to lift each other up in the days and the times. We just need to encourage each other in the Lord, that God is with us and that God will keep us. And so real quickly, y'all, I just want to lift up four things about this good work that God started in us that he will yet complete in our lives. First point I want to make, as we're grateful for all that God has done for us, and we're grateful that we're new works in him and we do good works in him, is this, that we praise God because he is the author of the work. That he started the work. God started the work in you. Not mama, not daddy, But when we talk about this work, this saving work, God started it through his son, Jesus Christ, and we got to be grateful for that. He is the author of the work. You know, Paul mentions in Acts chapter 14, somewhere around verse 27, he talks about how he and Barnabas, y'all, they were out doing missionary work, that they started out in Antioch. They make a full circle. They come back to Antioch, and they gather the whole church around them. And they say, listen up, church. Listen, we thank God for what he's done through us. And as a matter of fact, God has opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, to non-believers, so they could come to a saving faith. But notice, if you go to Acts chapter 14, look at what Paul is really saying. This is the Apostle Paul, the educated Apostle Paul, the intelligent Apostle Paul, the one who had it going on. This is Paul speaking. But Paul is giving all praise and all glory to God. He's saying, listen, the work that we're doing, it's a work that God called us to do, but saving work is really God's work. Yeah. We ought to do the work of the ministry, the work of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people, but at the end of the day, God does the saving. That's why God deserves to get all of the credit. Y'all, that's some folk. There's some folk. Nobody in here, but people y'all know that somehow at the end of the day, they're going to give themselves the credit for something. Y'all don't look at me. Don't look around. Yeah. We went out and we did this and, you know, we ministered. God moved in a mighty way. But then I comes in. Then me comes in and then I comes in. That God gets the credit because he's the author of the work. And if he's the author of the work, he's the one that propels you to do the work that you do. So we have to make sure we always give God credit for the work that because he's the author of the work. And Paul knew, y'all, that he was a product of God's work. Look at me, don't look around. Do you not understand and know that you are a product of God's work? Y'all know the story of the Apostle Paul, how Jesus met him on the Damascus Road, that he had to knock him down off of his high horse. That he said, "What, Paul, why do you kick against the goals? Why are you messing with me? Why are you bothering? Why are you persecuting my people? Why are you talking about them? Why are you hauling them off to go to jail? Why are you allowing my people to be killed?" So Paul was some kind of dude, y'all. So folk were afraid of him. But God did a work in his life. There on the Damascus Road, he met Jesus, and he radically changed his life for the rest of his life. And that should be our testimony, people of God, that one day you met Jesus, wherever you were, whether you were a child in preschool or whatever it was, where you're a grown up, that one day you met Jesus, and he changed your life, and he changed your life forever. That he changed your life in a great, in a radical way. The author of our work changed our lives. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Everything we come to know about God, believe about God, and how we serve him, he started it. And the good news is he's going to finish it. Again, God is the author of our faith. There's a story that's told about the great sculptor and painter, Michelangelo. That one day he was out and he was looking at a big slab, a big hunk of marble. They say as he stared at this piece of marble, he said, "There's an angel inside that piece of marble." They said he began to break away, chisel away at the marble. And finally, what came out of the marble was a great and precious sculpture of an angel. I believe that God is at work in our lives in the same way. That God is chiseling away, that God is breaking away, and God is shaping us into who he wants us to be, that he's the author of a great work, and you are the work of God. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. You are his workmanship. He authored the work. He authored. You are his project. That's right. And we can thank God for that. Not only that, we can be grateful for the nature of the work. The nature of the work. And I'm certain that God who began the good work within you or in you, the nature of the work that God does is on the inside of us. Yeah. That God regenerates us, that he changes us from the inside when he saves us. Sometimes it doesn't look like so much on the outside, but on the inside, he has changed you. That you are no longer the same. I am no longer the same. Listen, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says this. But God, who's so rich in his mercy, and he loved us so much that even then we were dead because of our sins, that he gave us new life when he raised up Jesus from the dead. Ephesians 2, 8 goes on to say, it's by grace that we are saved through faith. That it's not of our own works, not of our sin, but he does it. That he changes us from the inside out. It was John Wesley that put it this way. The life of God lives in the soul of man. That God lives on the inside of you and me to keep us each and every day of our lives. May not look like it to you, but the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. And he's changing me day by day. He's already worked a marvelous work. The nature of the work starts on the inside of you and me. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 27. I'll let you read that for yourselves. Write that down. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. But it talks about how we were not clean. That God had to come in. He had to purify us and to cleanse us from idols and from sins. And he turns around and he gives us a new heart. Not a heart that's made of stone, but to give us a heart of flesh, to give us his heart and to make us new. That God performed a mighty work in your life, in my life. God performs a spiritual heart transplant in you and me by giving us new life. Yeah. The nature of the work starts on the inside of us. Again, sometimes we look at ourselves. We look at our lives. On the outside, it doesn't look too hot. Sometimes the outside doesn't seem to match up with what the Bible says that happened on the inside of me. But if God said it, it's true. If he said you've changed, you're changed, you're changed. If he said he saved, you're saved. And that settles it. No matter what it looks like on the outside, no matter what it looks like to other people, it's a done deal. Think about an old car for a minute. Make sure it's not a Ford, Jamie. But think about an old car. Anyway, you're working on my truck. It's good. It's good, Jamie. My truck is good. It's good. It's good. Good, brother. So, but think about an old car. Let me bring my mind back. My mind just shifted for me. Come back in the name of Jesus. Let me come back. So you can take an old car and replace the entire motor on the inside of the car. All shiny and new. You can take the guts out of the car from under the hood and change everything out. Well, somebody could. I couldn't. But somebody could do that. Change new belts, y'all, all those cords, all that stuff you look under there so you know what it is. They change everything out under the hood. But on the outside, perhaps it doesn't look so new. But the reality doesn't change. That the inside of the old car is new. So in a sense, it becomes a new car. It's new. It's new, y'all. I like what the Word of God says. If any man be in Christ, that he's a new creation. Listen, that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are new. So walk and live in your newness. Know who God called you to. You are brand new. Because the nature of the work says that he changed us on the inside. Third principle. Something for us to be grateful about, y'all. It's the purpose of the work. And I caught this in the text, the purpose of the work. Why? Why the good work? What is all this really all about? But Paul says it in the text. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. On the day of Christ. On the day of Christ. When Christ Jesus returns. What's that all about? What is this day of Christ Jesus? You say a whole lot about that, but cut through the woods and put it like it's showing up. Figures like, it's the day, listen, when you won't have to struggle anymore. It's the day when you're not fighting with the enemy anymore. It's the day when you and I, we have complete victory. It's the day when we walk in total sanctification, that we're glorified and we're sanctified and we look like him and we walk like him. that we'll no longer have to walk by faith, but we'll walk by sight because we'll see him as he is. The Bible says, we haven't seen him yet, but one day we will see him and we'll know him as he is known. So Paul describes this as the coming glory of God and the coming glory of Christ. Yet what we suffer now is nothing to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. That one day God's glory is going to be revealed in you and me. But in the meantime, all of creation is groaning. It's waiting to see the appearing of God's children and what God does in his children and through his children. You're being prepared for the day of Christ Jesus. Reminds me of weddings, and all of us have been to weddings at some point or another. We go to a wedding, y'all, and we wait, and everybody stands up when the bride is getting ready to come in. And everybody's waiting to see what the bride is going to look like, y'all. See what kind of dress she's going to have on. We stretch our necks out, y'all. We look over show because we want to see what's she looking like. What she got on? I said to the folk this morning, something like, yeah, she ain't deserved a man. She got that should have been my man. I'm just saying what I'm saying. I'm just saying, good girl, you're looking good. Oh, you're looking good. You're looking good. But I think the same thing happens to us in the creation of the world. And when that day comes, when the bridegroom, Jesus himself, will come back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Yeah. The angels will stand in awe. All of creation will stand in awe at what God does through in his people and you and me. That the whole universe will stand in awe of what God's going to do in you and me in his saving grace. The purpose of the work is to wait for the day of Christ Jesus, the day when Christ returns. And we're ready, taken by him. Found out something, too, that God's purpose always prevails. Anybody know that? Man, we talk about the purpose of the work. Anybody know that God's purpose will always prevail, no matter what? You can try to run away from it, you can try to get up, but you can't. That we can make plans all day long, but God's purpose will always be prepared. And God's greatest purpose is to make you and me like him. His greatest purpose is to prepare us for the day of Christ Jesus upon his return. But in the meantime, a whole lot takes place in our lives, doesn't it? That we're waiting for it, y'all. And then, again, that's where we move from the anctification to the sanctification. We're becoming more like him. I put it like this. It's kind of like that blender and that healthy smoothie. Some of y'all know about blending and healthy smoothies. Help bless your heart. Bless your heart today. The rest of us know about turnip greens and cornbread. But some of y'all know about that you put some kale in there, that you put some other green stuff in there, green vegetables. Yeah. You put some carrots in there maybe, some beets in there, some turmeric in there. I just found turmeric, y'all. It's like turmeric. You put turmeric in there, you put some apples in it, you put some oranges in it, you put some more fruit, some strawberries and some blueberries, and you blend it all together. And the good with the bad turns into a healthy, great tasting smoothie. Listen, God is smoothing your life. Okay. That some good stuff and some bad stuff is coming together. It's being blended together. And we know all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Yeah. That his purpose will prevail in your life and my life. His purpose will always prevail. And finally, y'all, talk about this last thing. The certainty of God's work. And that's what this is really all about to me, the certainty. Because Paul starts out by saying, I'm certain. I know this man. I'm sure of this. I'm confident of this one thing, that the God who started the good work in me, that started the good work in you, that he's going to be the one to complete it. That what he started, he will, it's for real, y'all, he's going to do it. Yeah. Thank God that your hope is in Christ, yes, and it doesn't rest upon you or anybody else. Can you imagine for a minute that God said, I'm going to start a work in you. I'm going to start this work of salvation and sanctification in you, but then I'm going to withdraw my hand from you, let you figure it out for yourself. I don't know about y'all, but I'm so glad it's not by my power. It's not by my, it's by his spirit. It's what God does in my life and your life. That God is so gracious that when he started, he said, you don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to go it alone. I will complete the work. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why where some of us get it mixed up and messed up. Because we can get on this path where we think, okay, I'm doing this thing. I got it by myself. You know, and so on Monday, y'all, we're trying to work on the motor. On Tuesday, in our own power, y'all, we're trying to work on the carburetor. On Wednesday, y'all, we're pulling plugs over here and putting stuff in there. When God said, that's already a completed work. I've already done it. So you're trying to work out what I've already worked. Yeah. So just work out your salvation with fear. But I've already worked it in you. I've already done it. It's a complete work. We're just walking it out, y'all. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were yet sinners, y'all gotta catch that. Look at Romans 5:10. Study it out for yourselves. Listen, while we were still sinners, while we were slipping, dipping, and tripping without Christ because we did not know him, he was still at work in your life. He was at work in my life. But then it goes on to say real quick, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. What is that saying? If God loved you enough to die for you while you were yet still a sinner, how much will he love you and give you the power to be the child of God that he called you to do in this day and age right now? Certainly he's going to save you, continue to save you, and to bring you and me into his presence. And who better to talk about this, y'all, than the Apostle Paul? The book of Philippians, y'all, he's in jail. He's on lockdown for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. A whole lot of folk in jail for a whole lot of reasons. But preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? That he's got guards all around him. That he cannot walk freely and go freely. That Paul is in a Roman jail cell. But when I look at the text, y'all, when I look at this first chapter, I find out something. The jail could not hold the gospel of Jesus Christ. The prison could not stop the power of God. Look real quick in your Bibles, y'all. Look at verse 12 and 14. This is Paul speaking. He says, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has happened to spread the good news. That the work still continues, although he's imprisoned, although he's on lockdown, although he is not free, the gospel is still free, and the gospel is still getting out. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. God, let my life look like that. That God, the certainty of your work says that you're going to work it all out. The certainty of your work says you're working in me and through me no matter what my circumstances might be. The certainty of the work says that hey, listen, you can be on lockdown. You can be free. You can be going through changes. You can be on the mountaintop. You can be on the valley, but God is still yet working in you. And he'll bring that work to completion, that there's no obstacle that can stop God. No obstacle in your life can stop God from working in your life, in my life. If there's anything that stops it, it might be us. Yeah. Yeah. That God wants to continue his work in and through you and me. But will you allow him to do the work that he wants to do in you and me? Paul reminds me, as we come to a close, of a woman by the name of Fanny Crosby. Fanny was born March the 24th, 1820, in New York. Fanny became blind at a young age because of poor medical treatment. Because the doctors misdiagnosed her, she didn't have the money to get the treatment that she needed for her eyes, that she became blind. But she didn't wallow in her blindness. She didn't wallow in her condition. Despite Fanny's blindness, y'all listen, she developed a great faith in a love for Jesus Christ, in the love for the gift that God had called her to, even in her blindness, that Fanny wrote some 8,000 tunes, some 8,000 Christian songs. And Fanny would often say, listen, I kind of see my blindness as a blessing. Because although I do not have natural sight, it causes me to focus on God and the things of God and what God has for my life. Like a Paul that was incarcerated, he was not in the muddy grubs because he was in jail. He knew the gifting that God had placed on the inside of him, and the gospel still went forth. In her blindness, Fanny continued her work. And we remember one of her famous songs still today. The song goes something like this. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in it. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Fanny and Paul had it right. And I think she said something like this too. I'm certain that although in my blindness, God was still working through me. Although I am incarcerated, Paul, God is still working. No matter what, God is still working through me. And God will work it all out until the day of Jesus Christ. Yeah. That God is still at work. Somebody in the house today, you didn't understand that. Do you believe that today that God is still working in you and through you? That he will complete that work until the day of Jesus Christ? So we can be grateful, y'all. We can be grateful that God is still yet working in us. We are works in progress, aren't we? That I may not be what I ought to be. But I thank God that I'm not what I used to be. But it still has yet to be seen what I will be when I see him face to face, when I behold him as he is. And I'm known even as he knows me, I know him until that great day. God, continue. Jesus, continue. Holy Spirit, continue to work in me. And the church said, amen. To God be the glory. Come on, give God praise in the house today. Oh, you can do better. Give God praise in the house. God, you're still working on me. You're still working in me. Work it out, Father. Work it out. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this moment. God, we thank you that we have the blessed assurance that we are yours and you are ours. It's not contingent upon our mess ups and our mistakes. But our confession that Jesus Christ is Lord to your glory, Father. And that settles it. God, thank you that you're still working on us, that you did not give up on us. When others gave up on us, you did not. In those moments when we gave up on ourselves, you did not. When we counted ourselves out, you counted us in. And like Paul said, we can be certain, absolutely confident, that the work that you started in us when you saved us, that you'll complete that saving, that sanctifying work until the day that Jesus returns. And for that, we thank you and we're grateful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Perhaps there's someone in the house today, perhaps you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus. Our ushers are standing in the aisles at this moment. Their hands are extended. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here today and you're not in a saving relationship, I want to let you know Jesus wants to save you. That he saves to the utmost all that come to him. How does he save us? But listen, we admit that we're all sinners. We've fallen short of his glory. That none of us get it right. We miss the target. We confess this Jesus spoken of in Scripture. This Jesus born of a virgin. This Jesus who walked the earth and healed the sick and raised the dead. This Jesus who was persecuted, who was beaten and mocked and scorned. This Jesus who hung on Calvary's cross, who was buried in a borrowed tomb. This Jesus who did not stay dead, but 3 days later he got back with all power. That's his saving power. He wants to save you today. If you're here today and you say, I'm already saved, but you're not connected to a local church where you can fellowship with other believers, pray with other believers, serve with other believers, we believe Living Faith Community Church is a great place to be. That we're not a perfect people, but we serve a perfect God. So we invite you today, won't you come? Hands are extended. Won't you come in this moment? Get up from where you are in this moment. You feel that tug at your heart. Won't you get up from where you are? Follow one of our ushers to the New Member Ministry area. They'll gather information from you and we'll welcome you with open arms. For those that are tuned in right now, you're not in the house, but you're asking the question, how can I receive this Jesus, come to know more about this Jesus, or be connected to this church? There is a form that you can fill out. There's a link. Click on that link, fill out that form, and I promise you on this coming week, one of our New Member Ministry advisors will get with you, and we will welcome you. We'll welcome you with open arms. Will there be one? In my story, this is my song. Yeah. Come on, sing it if you know. All the day long. I can't hear y'all. Is it really your story? Look at what the Lord has done. Look at what he's continuing to do. Praising my Savior all the day long. And the church said, amen. Give God some praise one more time. Not just because I ask you to, but because he deserves it. He deserves it. So at this time, y'all, we are going to have our offering. Let me say this again. And so if you're here and like you felt this tug at your heart, I wanted to get up, but I didn't want to get up in front of all these people. You can do that after this worship experience. Meet with one of our New Member Ministry advisors in room number one. They will gather some information and we'll welcome you, amen, with open.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.